At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz on this Wednesday, as I will be joined by George for many upcoming Wednesdays as we are heading into the regular season of the NFL. Preseason gets its full start this week. Craig is going to be taking some Wednesdays off. I will be taking some Tuesdays off, so you guys will be very comfortable and very familiar with George throughout the course of the NFL season. Of course, we have loads of headlines and news to get to, but George, first, how are we doing today? Are we doing good there in Long Island?
We're not doing too bad here. I got to figure out this day off thing. Will we get days off at this company? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta ask, you gotta plea, you gotta beg. But every once in a while, a day off is being granted. Heading into our headlines here on Wednesday, Chicago Blackhawks Hall of Fame goaltender Tony Esposito passes away at the age of 78. Lionel Messi has officially left Barcelona, has signed a two-year deal with Paris Saint-Germain in France. He is going to wear number 30, which is a little bit odd to move him away from the classic number 10 that he always wore in Barcelona. Big news, Mookie Betts headed to the IL with a hip injury. The Los Angeles Dodgers, I hope, have learned their lesson. They just keep adding depth. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Yoshisu Tsugo out there for the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. And the Celtics added Dennis Schroeder to a one-year deal, which in and of itself, not that big of a news. But George, I hate to see this stuff. An athlete, Dennis Schroeder, he got offered 4 years, $74 million by the Lakers last offseason. He declined it. He said, I'm going to bet on myself. I think I can play better than that. I think I can get a big contract. And nothing even specific to basketball here. But George, I absolutely hate this. When athletes bet on themselves, it doesn't work out. People are always mean to them. People on the internet are laughing at Dennis Schroeder, right? And I hate that. I think that we should applaud these guys for betting on themselves, even when it doesn't work out.
I don't think it bothers me one way or the other. I have no problem with somebody betting on themselves, assuming that player that we think, oh, you know what? He might be able to do it. There are some players who do that. We're like, what are you doing? Take the money. All right, take the contract. Sign at the bottom line there. So I don't really have an issue with it. It didn't work out for him. We've seen that in other sports as well. Generally, I'd say for the most part, it usually does work out for the player. I'm trying to think of one offhand where the same thing happened in baseball, football, hockey, where someone waited out, said, I'm going to wait for the big payday, and then it doesn't come here. A little different financials now in most leagues because of COVID, that they didn't have fans last year. That's another reason why maybe I wouldn't have done that. You know, signed the contract, then you didn't know what was going to happen this season with COVID, whether they could allow fans back in, a short season, owners going to cry poverty, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, more often than not, it does work out for these guys. Andre Drummond, another example of a guy in the NBA who kind of bet on himself and didn't work out. This happens in the NFL. With quarterbacks, it feels like it almost doesn't matter. Like, you know, Chase Daniels making like $8 million a year in the NFL. So I feel like with quarterbacks, it doesn't matter. I want to come back to the Dodgers here, because obviously this is going to be a very football-centric show, but I definitely did want to talk about this at the top. I mean, George, it does feel like, despite the Dodgers, you know, looking very strong to make the playoffs at this point, it does feel like they just have had some rotten injury luck this year. You know, Cody Bellinger really can't get healthy from this shoulder injury. Mookie Betts has had multiple stints on the IL. At the end of the year, it really feels like they really have scraped the bottom of the barrel to find guys. You know, Zach McKinstry, Billy McKinney, right? Chris Taylor really has basically been their best player. Like, do you feel like the Dodgers, even with all these additions they made, are still kind of snake bitten?
Yeah. I think we've talked about this a couple of times on different shows here. Dodgers have been one of those teams that keeps getting the voodoo doll. Nope, ding, you're out, ding, you're out. Someone's taking players out. I mean, we didn't mention Corey Seager, who missed most of the season with the hand injury. Yeah, Justin Turner is now out until later in the week with the groin injury. And that's, by the way, I always think that's kind of silly. If you're going to keep him out 5 days anyway, then put him on the IL. It's five extra days with the groin, and it'll make sure it's healthy and healthy and happy there. So Dodgers have definitely been snake bitten this season.
Yeah, they have. And in the end, it still might not matter. You know, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are still being listed as the heavy favorite. I mean, the baseball futures market, I feel, is, you know, fairly interesting right now. The Dodgers are plus 350 favorites. The Astros are plus 480. The White Sox, now that they have Louis Robert and Eloy Jimenez back, they are listed at 6-1. And then, honestly, it's kind of a hodgepodge of teams. You know, the Brewers, the Rays. How about this? The Yankees, your New York Yankees, are listed ahead of the Boston Red Sox for World Series odds. Do you think that is legit, that the Yankees right now, as they are at 62 wins, the Red Sox at 65 wins, do you think that the Yankees should be listed ahead of the Red Sox?
Probably not. I mean, for a couple of reasons. I understand the Red Sox are imploding. All right, you can see that. They're dying. They're a team that's waiting for Chris Sale to come back on Saturday, and he's going to cure all their problems. Maybe he does. I think it's kind of silly to bank on that, but that's what they're doing. My issue is with this. You think the Dodgers are snake bit? Do you know the lineup the Yankees have on the IL right now? They actually literally have a full lineup on the IL with a complete pitching staff. It's incredible right now. I don't know if they can go. I don't know how much longer they can hold on to this. You know, and then they can play with the White Sox 3 now starting tomorrow, the Red Sox 3 next week. Could be the end of the Yankees if they can't get their act together, if these guys can't come back healthy.
Yeah, the Rays really are just pulling ahead in that division. Everyone, we have a whole huge show planned for you guys. Fantasy football training camp notes, either or, take them or leave them, have loads of fantasy.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Football stuff, loads of NFL wagering stuff. Stay tuned with us here for the next 2 hours. We're going to go ahead and run at a break. See you guys in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined today by George Kurtz. We have a full show of fantasy football content for you guys the next 2 hours. Stay locked in here for everything that you need to know going on with fantasy football and news and notes around the league. George, we are going to begin with some news and notes from training camp over the last 24 hours. The Denver Broncos coaching staff said that Drew Lock is going to end up starting their first preseason game. He's not really being drafted in fantasy leagues right now. I guess he's being drafted often enough to have an average draft position. He was fairly brutal last year, one of the league's worst completion percentages. I guess if I wanted to be kind to Drew Lock, I would say at least he's not bad in the way that, you often see quarterbacks get in these situations and they become too conservative. They try not to throw interceptions. They try not to make mistakes. They try not to take sacks. And it just means that they never push the ball down the field. Drew Lock actually led the NFL in percentage of throws tossed 20 yards or further down the field. But I do think in the end, George, Teddy Bridgewater is going to end up starting more games for this team. Where are you at on Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, Joe Lisi and I on Football Full Circuit, we've gone over this in detail about what we think here. This is a strange situation for a couple of reasons. As far as fantasy, by the way, neither guy has much value here, even in a super flex league, because I think they both play. I think the Broncos have to find out about Drew Lock. You know, is he the guy? Now, I don't think he is. Joe certainly doesn't think he is. Joe wants to throw him out now. But I don't think he's the guy either, but they have to find out. So I think he's going to start, I don't know, 2 games, 4 games, 6 games, somewhere around there before they turn it over to Teddy B. Now, I don't think Teddy B is the answer either. You know, he's more of a play-it-safe quarterback. He won't make the big error. He won't throw the interceptions, or for the most part, probably won't, where Locke will take more chances. So I think that could be an issue there as well. Their defense is good enough to be a playoff team. The problem is you play in a division with Kansas City, but the Chargers, even the Raiders, those teams are going to score points, and you need to score with them, and you don't have that really with either quarterback right now. I don't think their franchise quarterback is on the roster. I thought they made a big mistake in the draft by not taking Fields or Mac Jones, some guy you wanted at 9. They took Surtain, who I think is going to be a great player. I don't have an issue with that, but passing up on a quarterback, I wonder if the Bronco organization got a little gun-shy. Little gun shy from all these young quarterbacks they've taken and failed at. So I think that's happened there. Now, I'll throw in one little caveat here. If they know that Aaron Rodgers is dying to play there and that he's coming there next offseason, he's going to get out of Green Bay, which we all think he's going to do, and he's going to go to Denver next year, then I'm okay on passing on Fields. I'm okay on passing on Jones. But you were throwing away this year is what you were doing here. So unless they know Aaron Rodgers is coming next season, I thought they made a mistake. I don't think either player is fantasy worthy. Certainly not as a quarterback one. I'm in the middle of a slow draft now. We're in round 11. No one's sniffing Lock or Bridgewater yet. All right, quarterbacks are lasting forever anyway. But neither one of those guys is going to do much fantasy goodness for you in fantasy, even though they have a great wide receiver core.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Well, I guess I'm not with you 100% because I think even if they got some assurance that Aaron Rodgers would be interested in coming there, I think, you know, look at 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers or 23-year-old Justin Fields. You'd much rather have 23-year-old Justin Fields. Now, if Mac Jones was the guy they wanted, then sure, wait a year and take Aaron Rodgers. But I am of the opinion that Justin Fields is going to be a great NFL quarterback, and I think it was a huge mistake for them to take Patrick Surtain there instead of taking Justin Fields. And I think they're going to pay the consequences of that because you're right. They are in a division with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're just really not going to be able to catch up. Some very concerning news coming from the AFC West as well. Darren Waller misses his 8th straight day of camp. He goes very high in fantasy drafts right now, an ADP of a tail end of the 2nd round in best ball leagues. His ADP is about 8th or 9th overall in high stakes leagues on the FFPC where they do tight end premium. 107 receptions last year, clearly the top option in the passing game for the Las Vegas Raiders. But, I mean, it's 8 days now. We're talking about a week missed of camp. Are we concerned about Darren Waller at all, George?
Well, I think you have to be concerned, all right? I haven't dropped him in my rankings only because it's a pretty big tier there, or a pretty big drop in one tier to the next tier, but you have to be concerned. He's missed 8 days. That's a big miss here. Now, we're not hearing a lot of noise here, so I guess that's good news, right? No news is generally good news as far as that, and we still have over a month until the season starts. So I think he's going to be fine, but to say I'm not concerned, of course I'm concerned. I'm concerned about any kind of minor injury. It always catches my eye here, and I want to see the man play. That being said, I haven't dropped him. Tight end is weird in fantasy. What I mean by this is you're either drafting a tight end early or you're waiting forever. At least that's what I would do. If you're not going to take Waller, Kittle, Kelsey, then you can wait. Those guys, I mean, you talk about Kelsey might go in round one, Kittle and Waller, end of round two, round three. So if you're not willing to take a tight end in your first three rounds, then you wait forever. Now, that philosophy could change somewhat if you're in a league that awards extra points for a tight end, if they get a 1.5 per reception or extra points for yardage, which some leagues do to try and bump up the tight end. But in your standard, normal, regular league here, you're either rejecting those guys early or you wait forever. And Waller right now, I mean, unless he fell to me in, let's say, round four-ish, I probably would pass. I usually pass anyway. I don't want to take a tight end early. I want to build up my running backs and wide receivers. But unless Waller does fall to me early, or I get a bargain, this really makes it an easier decision for me. I'll just wait, and I'll take the Logan Thomas's, Gesicki's of the world, Goddard, in rounds 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more bullish on Waller, on Kelsey, on TJ Hockenson, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, because, you know, that weekly advantage of having the elite tight end with, you know, you and I, if we played in a sports grid league and we go up against each other, I have George Kittle, you have Logan Thomas. I mean, you might be giving up 8 points a week there. And it's not to say that there won't be some late breakout tight ends. You know, Tyler Higbee might have a great year. Gerald Everett in his new environment there in Seattle, kind of like him. Adam Trautman with the Saints. It's just that those performances are, it's very hard to count on. I mean, every year, George, we get excited about some tight end. Remember when we were all excited about Jay Sternberger in Green Bay? How many times have we been excited for Jared Cook? You know, Jared Cook is 34 years old, and I think we are still waiting for Jared Cook to break out. So for a lot of these guys, it just doesn't ever end up happening. I do like Darren Waller where he goes, but I am concerned. I mean, we haven't gotten a great report on exactly what Waller is dealing with. You know, is this a structural issue? Is it his lower body? Does he have a hurt hand? Like, what's going on with him? We don't exactly know. And to be fair, he is a veteran player. It's not like they're changing head coaches or offensive coordinators, so probably not that big of a deal. Our final news and note here, Aaron Rodgers not likely to play in the preseason. I don't really know why he would play in the preseason. I don't think this does anything to what we're doing with him in fantasy football. You know, Davante Adams, he's fine. Tonyan, he's fine. AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones, those guys are fine. The question I have for you is, what are we expecting to see out of Jordan Love? And do you care how he plays in the preseason? If Jordan Love plays well, does that matter to you at all? If he plays poorly, does that matter to you at all?
You know, it's funny, just for the preseason, I don't, you know, I'll watch it. It'll be on NFL Network on one of the TVs all day long once the games start this weekend, because they replay every game, so you want to get in there. But I do want to see Love play. I do. I don't think it means anything fantasy-wise this season other than if Rodgers were to get hurt. Obviously, that'd be a thing. But no one, you're not going to handcuff, you know, Love to Rodgers. You're not doing that. So it doesn't mean anything but fantasy. But I want to see him. I want to know, can this guy – when I say replace Rodgers, he's not going to be anywhere near Rodgers next year, but I want to see where he's at. He's sort of been, you know, the big Casper the Ghost. We haven't seen him. We don't know what this guy can do, what he can throw, what his true athleticism is. So I'm definitely curious about Love. It's one thing I will be tuning into just to get an eye, just get a look at the guy. Oh, these little, you know, training camp, little snippets we see. I want to see him in game action. So the curiosity factor is there. And by the way, I think this is great for Green Bay because they need to see him in game action as well to get an idea of what they have going forward.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. I mean, because they've seen him in practice. Doesn't sound like he's been all that good in practice, but Green Bay needs to know because it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the move relatively soon. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and go into our second break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. Stay tuned, and when we come back, we'll be doing some either or with NFL teammates. See you guys in just a few moments.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by my buddy, George Kurtz. Of course, going to be a very fantasy football-centered show, and it's going to be a very fantasy football-centered show for, about the next 5 months, George. We're going to be talking a lot about fantasy football. You know, we're in the thick of draft season right now. High-stakes drafts are kicking off. The best ball tournaments are going crazy. We're all having, you know, a great time. And, you know, I think a key way to view fantasy football is to actually look at the team level and say, is this team overvalued or is this team undervalued? Are all their players values or are none of their players values, or is only one or two of them? And so that is where this either or exercise comes in. We're going to take a look today at the two Minnesota Vikings wide receivers who are going early in drafts. We have Justin Jefferson as a tail end of the second round pick, going to go off the board after A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. And then his teammate, Adam Thielen, who scored 14 touchdowns last year, is going in the middle of the fifth round right now. Now, 9 of those touchdowns, George, did come inside of the 5-yard line. Not so sure how much he is going to be able to replicate that performance this year. But given their cost, do you prefer Justin Jefferson or do you prefer Adam Thielen?
Justin Jefferson was one of those rare rookie receivers last year that came out and, you know, was gangbusters, right? Put up big numbers here. Generally, I stay away from rookie wide receivers. I think it takes them a while to get not only get chemistry with the quarterback, but also learn the route tree, when to be the hot receiver, all that stuff. A lot of stuff there. I didn't expect what Justin Jefferson did. That being said, I'm all in this year. The problem is he's also such the hot name, right, that everybody wants to get him because of all the deep pass. He could win you weeks all by himself. It seems like he's going to have big games here. Thielen, I thought, was a little disappointing last year, right? I mean, and that a big part of that might have been the breakout of Justin Jefferson. But he also put a big nose when Diggs was there. You know, they're also a running team, right? We've heard Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer fired the OC 2 years ago because he didn't run the ball enough. They want to run the ball with Dalvin Cook. You know, Madison to a certain degree as well here. So that's it gives me some pause here about either one of these guys. I'd rather have Jefferson. I think he is the big play guy. I'll pay the higher price for him rather than I think Thielen's safer. You're going to get your 8, 10, 12 points depending on what kind of league you play in there. But I want the higher upside with Jefferson. And even in a bad week, I'm probably still going to get my 6-8 anyway. I'll pay the higher price for Jefferson, but I do like Thielen as well. But once again, a lower rate here. There are guys in the same tier as Thielen that I'm probably going to go to rather than him.
Yeah, I think that's about how I agree as well. Like, I do slightly prefer A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf to Justin Jefferson, but I much prefer, you know, Brandon Ayuk, Chase Claypool, D.J. Moore, T. Higgins. I prefer all those guys to Adam Thielen. So it's just going to kind of end up being one of those things where when I have, when I've done all of these drafts at the end of the year, maybe I'll have a little bit of Thielen, you know, have him in a couple leagues here or there, but unlikely to be a building block for me. And I think that's probably the right way to view it. Justin Jefferson, I mean, if he scores the touchdowns that Thielen scored last year, if they just use him more in the red zone, he could be the number one overall wide receiver in fantasy football. And I just don't think Thielen can do that, right? Age 31. Playing with Justin Jefferson, Irv Smith Jr. going to get some of those red zone looks as well. Of course, Dalvin Cook going to be prominently involved at the goal line. So I'm definitely a little bit cooler on Adam Thielen. Next up, we have the always enticing backfield of the San Francisco 49ers. Seems like it doesn't matter who they put in that backfield. Jeff Wilson Jr., Jamichael Hasty. You know, it truly does not matter which running back a Shanahan plugs in, whether it be Kyle or whether it be his dad. Those guys tend to do well for fantasy football. So right now we're looking at Raheem Mostert, who's going in the 8th, 9th round range. Wayne Gallman, kind of a last round selection. Of course, we also have Trey Sermon, the 3rd round rookie out of Ohio State here as well. Then, look, if we really want to get confusing, they also have Elijah Mitchell, a 7th round rookie from the University of Louisville on the roster as well. George, what are we doing with the conundrum that is the 49ers backfield?
I'm staying away. I'm not dealing with it. It really comes down to that. Once again, the league I'm playing in right now is an industry league. All right. And Sermon was the first 49ers running back drafted. All right. That really tells me all I need to know. All right. Most of it lasted a while here. You mentioned no matter who they plug in, they seem to do well there. And that's frustrating because there's no one guy. So this is, I don't want to equate this to the Patriots running backs in their heyday where Bill Belichick hated fantasy football owners, and you never knew which running back was going to be it this week. I think for the most part, I would take Mostert, but he's not. You can't take him as a running back one. Even as a running back two, there are going to be weeks where he's just not the guy. For whatever reason, he's not the guy. Then it's going to be Sermon. Maybe it's a Jeff Wilson day for whatever reason. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to frustrate me, and I know it's going to frustrate me, and I try and stay away from those kinds of situations. Now, from where they're being drafted, it comes to the beggars can't be choosers part. You know, hey, if you're looking for this guy and you want, it means you probably needed a running back. Maybe you took a tight end early. Maybe you took a quarterback early. And you're a little stuck at running back here. I would still take most at first. But you're going to find yourself later, oh, maybe I want to take Wilson, too, to back him up. You can't start them both the same week. It's not going to help you out much. So it's a frustrating situation that for the most part I want to stay away from, and it's why if most of my drafts, if I'm going to play in 10 leagues this year, you're probably going to see 8 of them. I go running back in rounds 1 and 2, so I don't have to worry about situations like this.
Yeah, I definitely do less drafts starting running back. I love my Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Steph Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. I love getting those guys on my teams. And because I do feel, I actually really like Raheem Mostert. When Raheem Mostert was the starting running back for the San Francisco 49ers, he just looked like he was kind of playing at a different speed than Tevin Coleman, looked like he was playing at a different speed than Jerick McKinnon. And I think that is going to translate over to this year because Raheem Mostert, if you remember, George, he was recruited to the University of Purdue, not as a football player, but as a track star. That was what Raheem Mostert did originally. And I think that skill set is going to continue to serve him well this season. I also anticipate the 49ers to be a very run-heavy team. As they transition to starting Trey Lance, I think they're going to want to make things as easy on him as possible. I think they'll be one of the run-heaviest teams in the NFL. And so I think there will be enough carries there for Trey Sermon and for Raheem Mostert, both to kind of be low-end running back twos. But of course, they're going to have loads of spike weeks because there's going to be lots of scoring potential there in that backfield. And then finally, we come to the Chicago Bears, a situation that I find to be absolutely fascinating. We have Andy Dalton not really being drafted. Don't think he should be drafted. And then Justin Fields in your 11th, 12th, 13th round range, average draft position of right around 131. The coaching staff, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, the whole front office there has indicated that Andy Dalton is for sure going to start the year. But I think they are covering their butts a little bit because the Chicago Bears are playing against the Los Angeles Rams in week 1. They are 7-point underdogs in that game. Don't think that's going to be a very competitive game, even if Fields does start. But Matt Nagy, coaching for his job. Ryan Pace, general managing for his job. If the Bears suck this year, if they win 7 games and are not really competitive, they are all getting fired. Whole front office is getting fired. You can write that down in pen right now. Justin Fields is going to give them a better chance to win games. So I really don't see it with Andy Dalton. I think we are going to get a lot of Justin Fields starts this year.
I hope so. God, I hope so. Because I agree with everything you just said there. I don't think Nagy should have a job now, more or less, at the end of the season. I can go along with, let's go with Dalton for week 1. They're playing the Rams, Aaron Donald, and blah, blah, blah. Let's not throw Fields out there against them. Okay, I'm fine with that. But if you don't have him in there, you play Cincinnati week 2, Cleveland 3, Detroit 4, Vegas. You're not really playing all that great a defense after that. Not until, maybe get Tampa Bay at week 7, San Francisco week 8. So Fields has to go in there sooner rather than later. We saw Dalton last year with the Cowboys, a team with a lot more offensive weapons than the Bears have, and yet he didn't do all that much. I understand Dallas was a train wreck last year with a lot of other injuries. The offensive line was a joke and stuff like that. But Dalton is nothing but a backup right now. And Fields should play as soon as you think he's ready to play, when you honestly think he's ready to play. All right, because Nagy's going to get fired. I think he's going to get fired no matter what, by the way. I don't even think Fields can save his job. But I know Dalton can. All right, the longer you go with Dalton, the more you're going to frustrate the fans, you're going to frustrate the media there, and they're going to call for your head. All right, so you got to put Fields in there sooner rather than later. I don't think they're a playoff team no matter what. I do think as far as fantasy is concerned, you're not drafting Dalton. But in a super flex, I think Fields is a nice play because I think he does start – what would I put the over on? The 13.5 games? So I think he starts – I think the over is going to come in there somewhere. So I think he's going to be a good play there. So I think as a super flex, a quarterback too, I'm fine with him. You're going to have to eat it for week one. So maybe you got to draft Dalton and put him in your super flex for 1 week. Or maybe you plug in a wide receiver, a running back, whatever you got there. But I think Fields is going to play the majority of the games this season. I just can't see Nagy – literally, if you play Dalton 13.5 games, you're committing career, suicide. I don't want to coach anymore. I want to be done. Dalton's not going to lead you anywhere. Packers are a better team. The Vikings are a better team. Fields has to be on the field, really, as soon as you legitimately think he can play, week one or whenever it might be.
All right, real quick here. What do you make of my take that I actually love the Bears over because that's how much I believe in Justin Fields? Their total is only 7.5. And I have bet the over. I feel very good about the over. Do you think that's dumb of me?
Dumb, no, but they better get it early. Their last six games, Arizona, Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle, Giants, Minnesota. That could be tough here. I'm not taking the over.
Yeah, that is a great point. They do have a tough schedule. They play in a tough division. The Packers are going to be very good. I think the Lions are going to be well-coached. The Vikings, I think, are going to be good as well. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and go into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. When we return, we're going to take a look at some of the NFL conference winners' betting odds. See you guys with those betting odds on FanDuel here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by my buddy, George Kurtz. As we look around the world of the NFL, we've covered some fantasy football topics here for you in the first hour of the show, but we're going to change our tune and our direction here a little bit. I mean, of course, we all love fantasy football. We're all playing in all these leagues. We all want to win lots of money at the end of the year. But of course, we also would love to win some money on the FanDuel Sportsbook via betting futures as well. I actually have always really enjoyed betting futures. I tend to think that they are a much more bettable and softer market than, you know, betting actual game lines. Game lines tend to be a little bit tougher to beat over the course of the year. So George, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pick some winners for the folks, starting with the AFC East, which, by the way, I think is going to be a much more competitive division this year than last. All that they really have to do to be a very good division is just have the Jets not suck and have Zach Wilson, you know, play good football. The Buffalo Bills are the division favorite at minus 150. Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins are plus 330. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are plus 380. And new head coach Robert Saleh taking over the Jets roster is sitting there listed at 16-1. What is the direction that you see this division going? And do you think any of these numbers are bettable?
I mean, minus 150 for the Bills, I don't hate it. I think they do win the division. I think they have a second best team in the AFC. You know, I think eventually they're going to add Zach Ertz too. So I think the Bills are a good team here. Dolphins, I like everything they've done, but we don't know about Tua, right? Is Tua going to be that guy? And I think you and I talked about this last week. It's not fair to judge him off last year. It's not. I mean, the man came with a big-time injury. Maybe he was going to be redshirted and not going to play at first. He had no mini kits because of COVID. Even training camp was abbreviated. So not fair to really judge him off last year. But we are going to judge him off this year, right? And they've added some offensive weapons for him. So I said, hey, here we go. Let's go. Got to get that ball down the field. Got to be able to throw it. Defense is good. You know, the running game, I wish they would have added. I guess I wish they would have done more there. Adding something substantial there rather than pretty much ignore their position here. My only knock on them. I said, I don't think the Patriots are going to be very good. All right, I don't think Cam Newton's the quarterback. I really think Cam Newton's the quarterback. He's not the athlete he once was. I know the Patriots, a lot of their guys who defected last year, who didn't play because of COVID or who were hurt, are back. Still, you look at that skill position set there. That may be the worst in football. I mean, it's one of the worst in football. There's nowhere. Nelson Aguilar, are you kidding me? Is your number one? Really? Good luck with that. You go bananas at the tight end. Neither Hunter Henry or Janu Smith are anywhere near Gronkowski and Angel Hernandez in their day. You know, so in the running backs, I mean, no, I don't think about New England at all. And the Jets are going to suck. Sorry, the Jets are going to suck. It's going to be a long year for the Jets, but that doesn't matter. I'm not saying that to get at Jets fans. All the season is about the Jets is Zach Wilson. Just to get him comfortable, make sure he is your franchise quarterback. If you find out that he is, successful season. I don't get to go 3-14. You solved a major problem. You move on from there. You weren't going to fix everything in one offseason anyway. But I like the Buffalo Bills. I think that by far they are a team to beat here. I do think Miami's a playoff team, and that's about it coming out of this division. I think New England 8-9, maybe 9-8. I think that's even me being kind. But one, as far as futures, love the Jets under. They're not going anywhere near their total.
Yeah. You know, for this division, for me, I actually like the Dolphins. I think Tua, you know, was playing as a shell of himself last year, couldn't move as well, obviously didn't get a full first offseason or training camp, you know, with all the COVID stuff going on and the fact that he was rehabbing. I also know the Dolphins lead the NFL in percentage of players vaccinated. So if you want to talk about a guy, you know, a team maybe not forfeiting any games, don't think we're going to see the Dolphins forfeiting any game checks. Moving now to the AFC North, this is a fascinating division. I would say this is probably the most interesting division because you have the Ravens listed at plus 115. You have the Browns, who absolutely no one believes in, despite them being good and kicking the Steelers' butt up and down the field last year at plus 155. You have the Steelers, who have not had a losing record since 2003, listed at plus 440 to win the division. And look, we can say the Bengals stink. We can laugh at them. But Joe Burrow is good. They have three very good wide receivers. I think that Zach Taylor is maybe not a great head coach, but a good offensive play caller. I think this is going to be a very frisky division I mean, if I was betting this, I would definitely bet the Ravens. But, you know, what are we thinking here with these numbers, George?
All right. Now, a couple of things here. One thing you mentioned at the end of the AFC East is about, they had the Dolphins have the highest vaccination rate. They better, because Florida's a nightmare right now, right? They're having a lot of problems in Florida. It worries me about Miami, worries me about Tampa, Jacksonville, those players. And I got to tell you, Davis, with what's going on with COVID, I think it's only going to get worse, especially as the weather gets cold and people go stay indoors more. This worries me about futures as far as the over is concerned in any future. Because you can't tell me that we're not going to have games affected by this. We're seeing it in baseball. You know, their teams putting up plays on the COVID almost daily. This is going to happen as far as football as well. I don't care about the forfeit thing. Roger Goodell's not making anybody forfeit because guess what? You know, I don't know, Cowboys and whatever, Tampa Bay, they can't play because one of these teams has a COVID outbreak. He's not making any team. Even if it's their fault, he's not making them forfeit because guess what? You're going to forfeit. And the first thing you're going to do, Dave, if you're the CEO of whatever, NBC, where's my money? Where's my rebate? Pay me. He's not making anybody forfeit. Even a meaningless Sunday game, they're not forfeiting that either. You know, it's just not going to happen. It's an empty threat here. He just wants people to get vaccinated, which I understand fine. But I'm not worried about the forfeit thing. But I am worried about placing too many future overs because I think, once again, this is going to be affected here where we're going to get teams that are hit. They're going to play. We saw it last year with Denver. Oh, you have no quarterbacks? Too bad, play. Yeah, you have no running backs, no offensive line? Too bad, you're playing. Don't care, your fault. This is what's going to happen if they can't reschedule the game. They will try and reschedule it, I think, but just like last year, if you can't, doesn't work out, or it's too late, not play. Too bad. You know, so I think it's going to happen again here. So that worries me as far as overs are concerned. That, you know, you might get a team that gets hit, that a great team. Kansas City, you love their over, but also they have two games where they're affected by COVID, two losses. Well, I just lost your over. So I'm probably leaning more towards my unders than anything else here. All right, as far as this division, I like the Browns. You know, I know that hurts my heart to say. But I
can't believe you just said that.
Ready. It's hurting. You know, I'm getting heartburn just thinking about it. But I think they're ready to make that next, you know, that next push. And also, speaking of COVID, Lamar Jackson's now gotten it at least twice. Right? Cost him a game last year. Yet he won't get vaccinated. Or as of right now, he won't. Hard for me to think he's playing 17. That he's not going to get hit again with this. So, you know, I worry that he might miss some games here. I know it could affect Cleveland, too. Even if you're vaccinated, you could still get it. You know, so it is what it is here. But give me Cleveland for the value here. I like the Browns. I think Pittsburgh's about done. I think Ben's already said the offensive line is sort of a work in progress here. Najee Harris is not going to solve all of their issues. Their defense is not as good. TJ Watts, is he still not doing team drills yet because he wants a new contract as well here? No, thanks. I'll pass on Pittsburgh this year. Cincinnati, I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think they're in over as far as game totals each week. They can play a lot of 34-31 games, but sort of one step forward, two steps back, can't fix everything. Bengals, they're going to finish last again. Sorry.
Well, the Bengals, you know what? Actually, I'm going to push back. The Steelers finished last year. The Bengals are going to be better than the Steelers. I mean, I just want to bet against every team with a 39-year-old quarterback. I feel like that's a great way to make money over the long run. Next up, the AFC South, not as interesting to me. Tennessee Titans minus 135, the Colts plus 175, the Jaguars plus 600, the Texans, the worst team in football, plus 2300. I think this is a two-team race between the Titans and the Colts, and really it's just about, is Carson Wentz able to play as good as Phillip Rivers did last year? If so, I think they win the division, but maybe that's not giving the Titans enough credit.
Okay, I think Tennessee's almost going to run away with this division now. You know, I might have given the Colts a fighting chance when Wentz and Nelson were both healthy, but now I don't think so. And my other reasoning is this. Have you seen the opening schedule for the Colts? My God, if Peyton Manning was coming back in his heyday, they would have some problems here. Their first five games, Seattle, Rams, Tennessee, at Miami, at Baltimore. And now you're doing this with Carson Wentz, and maybe, who knows? You don't know who you're doing at quarterback, right? I mean, it'd be Eason at this point. I mean, are you looking to survive here? Go 2-3? And you think you'd be thrilled. You get Houston in week 6, but then you get San Fran and Tennessee. Your six of your first eight games are just a nightmare. just a 7W for your first date. A nightmare here. So, no, give me the Tennessee Titans all day long here. I like what they've done here. Yeah, Julio Jones is hurt. He's going to be all – drives me crazy fantasy-wise because he's always questionable with some kind of foot injury there. But I like what they've added there. Just please, for the love of God, get some kind of pass rush. I think they got a pass rush. I might put you as a Super Bowl contender. But they don't have that. That's going to be their bugaboo all season long. But give me the Titans.
Yeah. I have no pushback here. And then I think this is going to be a pretty – quick conversation for us here. The AFC West, the Chiefs are minus 270 to win the division. The Chargers are plus 490. The Denver Broncos somehow are plus 700. And the Las Vegas Raiders are 13-1. I think the only two reasonable bets here, of course, would be the Chiefs or the Chargers. Your avenue to the Chargers winning is the Chiefs defense is really bad. Patrick Mahomes maybe gets banged up. Maybe Tyreek or Kelsey gets banged up and the Chiefs kind of scuffle along to a 10-7 season. They end up being the second wild card and the Los Angeles Chargers are, you know, look, the new coach gets everyone jazzed up. Justin Herbert is really good. But, I mean, look, I'm certainly not betting against the Chiefs. Do you have a narrative here for the Los Angeles Chargers, George?
Listen, I like the Chargers, but they're always that team that seems to find a way to lose, right? How can the Chargers lose this week? You know, it's just every week we always see that 3-4 times a year. You know, Anthony Lynn, I thought was a terrible head coach. I thought guys like Anthony Lynn, Nagy fits in this mold as well, are guys who are stuck in the 80s and 90s, you know, early 90s. You want to win games 21-17. Doesn't work in today's game. Got to put the ball down the field. Got to take some chances here. So I like the Chargers a bunch. I like what they've added here. I do. But they're not ready to take on the job, Chiefs, not for the division. As you said, and I completely agree, unless you're going to get some injuries for the Chiefs here, whether it be Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill, offensive line gets decimated again. The only question is how many games do they win? 11, 12, 13. They're going to win their share of games. I do have the Chargers going to the playoffs, however. Denver's a nightmare at quarterback. I don't like what they're going to do there. Raiders are somewhat interesting, but they're just a better Bengals. And what I mean by that is, yeah, they're going to score a lot. They can score points, but they can't stop anybody. So it's the same situation there, and that's not going to work in the NFL either. You got to be able to stop somebody some of the time. The Raiders can't stop anybody any of the time.
Yeah, the Raiders are just they're not really any good. I want to ask you though, are you concerned at all about the Chiefs? I mean, you know, we saw what happened with the offensive line. They've traded all these first round picks away. Do you have any concern, you know, with the team maybe kind of wasting some of Mahomes' prime?
Well, I don't know if I was wasted. Do I have concern? Sure. I mean, what happened in the Super Bowl last year was, I mean, as soon as they snapped the ball, he was running for his life. All right, but they had all these offensive linemen down. They did address it during the offseason, right? They addressed it. They went out and got him better offensive linemen. It wasn't like they didn't stick their head in the sand and go, no, we'll be fine. No, they went out and solved the problem, or what they think has solved the problem. So is there a concern? Of course, a little bit. But I'm not going to get on a soapbox and tell you, this is terrible. I think they've addressed the problem.
Yep. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for staying here with us on Fantasy Sports Today and Sports Grid TV. We are going to go into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned for hour two of the show. We have much more fantasy football discussion and fantasy or reality coming at the end of hour two as well. See you guys back in a few minutes.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
everyone, and welcome back to our final segment here of Hour 1 on Fantasy Sports Today on SportsGrid TV. Of course, we have more great content coming for you in Hour 2, but I definitely wanted to remind everyone to follow SportsGrid and SportsGrid TV at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV on Twitter and all social media. You can get the latest updates, breaking news, line changes, and more. You can stay on grid all day long, even when you're not in front of your TV. There's nothing like being informed with all the odds, analysis, and best bets all day long. All of my great content, of course, will be pushed there. You can follow the SportsGrid Fantasy Football Podcast there that I host. We have, of course, Ariel Epstein's great baseball props. I know it's getting to the dog days of August, and Ariel is not necessarily enjoying handicapping baseball, but definitely going to get all of that great analysis there as well. Real quick, I just wanted to end Hour 1 with this observation. George and I were just talking about the Los Angeles Chargers, and we saw them listed at plus 490 to win the division. And I was just kind of thinking to myself while George was talking, you know, how many years in a row have we done this with the Los Angeles Chargers? It's always their year. Oh, this is their last year in San Diego. They're going to be great. Oh, this is their first year in Los Angeles. They're going to be great. Derwin James is healthy. The offensive line is healthy. Oh, Austin Eckler looks incredible, right? We have those great videos of Austin Eckler working out, like doing pull-ups while having 200 pounds of barbells attached to him. You know, Austin Eckler basically looks like a transformer. And, you know, I don't necessarily get into the superstitious elements of sports wagering all that often, but I sort of feel like the Chargers are just one of those cursed teams. I mean, how much more cursed can you be than to be in a division with Patrick Mahomes, right? Mahomes signed a lifetime contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. The guy owns part of the Royals. The guy owns part of Sporting Kansas City. He's going to be there competing against the Los Angeles Chargers for a long time. So I would definitely be careful with your Los Angeles Chargers futures money over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Everyone, we're going to end Hour 1. Please stay tuned for Hour 2 here on Fantasy Sports Today. Of course, we have our Take 'Em or Leave 'Em. We're going to take a look at some of my favorite stacks in fantasy football. And we're also, of course, going to do Fantasy or Reality. See you guys on the other side of this break in Hour 2.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.